My name's Matthew, in case you haven't seen me before, if you haven't met before, and very warm welcome to you if you're visiting. It's great that you can join us on an exciting day for baptisms. And that's right, I'm going to be looking at... sneak preview, people might baptism side at fee, because I'm going to be talking about what is baptism and why would you want to get baptized? Because otherwise, it might seem a little bit random, isn't it? Like, why you would want to dunk yourself in a swimming pool in front of a few hundred people. That's what I'm going to be explaining. But I do love finding out random facts about new people, or when you get to know people and you find out, you know, the interesting quirks that different people have. And Fee, if you could put my picture on of Amara, who I discovered her, like, hobby is jousting. Like, you know, in A Knight's Tale, like medieval, you know, that's a real thing in Ohio, where she comes from, like an actual sport that people play. Isn't that amazing? That is quality. Or another one was Tabitha has a very good friend and apparently he used to babysit for her. The Chelsea captain, David Luiz, used to be a babysitter. How random is that? Now, Harry as well, okay, I've been told, and he's lived up to it today, is that he always wears grey. And when he gets baptized today, you'll see that he is in a grey t-shirt. And Joe's getting baptized as well. In youth, the last couple of weeks, someone brought Just Dance, the computer game, the Wii game where, you know, you dance along. And Joe is like an expert at it. So you've got all the like 13-year-old girls and then Joe showing them up with his dance move. So interesting facts, random facts for different people. I love it. But today we're going to be talking about what is baptism. And as Sarah said at the start, the word baptism, it comes from a Greek word and it means to immerse or to dip or to plunge. And so in case you're not already in the mood for watching the baptisms, I've got something to help us. And that's one of my favourite comedians, Peter Kay. And in this little clip I'm going to show you, he is comparing the relative strengths and weaknesses of different biscuits and their dunkability. So he's comparing your rich teas with your hobnobs. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this. If you could put that on for me, Fionn, that'd be great.
Do you ever dip your biscuit in your tea and it breaks? Ever do that? You never get used to that. As you get older and you dip your biscuit in it, because you don't know when it's going to fall. And you panic. When it falls, it's like out of body. It's like slow motion. Rich tea are bad for that. Rich tea are the worst ones. You feel like lightning. They're the worst ones, rich tea. You have to get forward together to get a good chance of getting a dip in. They've no backbone. I'm willing to have a bit of backbone. Like, come on. Oh, God, it's too hot. It's too hot. It's too hot. You're a biscuit. It's your job. And the cocky. The cocky, they don't even fit into your cup. You've got to bite them off or get them in your brew. They're not like hobnobs. You see, that's a different class of biscuit and hobnob. Hobnobs are like Marines, hobnobs. They're like SAS, they're like Steven Seagal at Biscuit World, an hobnob. You dip an hobnob, it's like, again! Again! Dip it! Again! Dip it! Again! I'm going nowhere, me son! Half of your brew. Where's my brew gone? Where's my brew? You don't dip me, I'll drink again.
Brilliant. I love Peter Kay. I love biscuits as well, so two of my favourite things combined. But what I love about stand-up comedians is the way that they take, like, our ordinary lives, are they, the everyday things, and then they turn it into something hilarious. And the way they pick up on, you know, everything that we say or everything that we do and how we communicate as people, and they turn it into something really funny. And baptism itself is one of those actions that also communicates something. Just like, you know, our words and our actions both communicate. And just like, as well, if your family and friends who are here supporting the guys getting baptized today, just you being here, that action, is a support and shows, demonstrates and expresses and communicates your friendship and your support. And so it's great that you're with us this morning. And baptism is an action that carries a meaning. It's a picture of something. But it's also more than just something symbolic. That action itself has a meaning and a value in and of itself beyond what it symbolizes. And so we're going to look at that briefly this morning. I got three things to help us just unpack what is baptism, why do you do it? And the first thing is the value of people. And that is because every person is valuable to God. You are valuable to him, and he loves you. In Psalm 139, it says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, God. They cannot be numbered. They outnumber the grains of sand." And God thinks about you. He is concerned about you. He cares about you. And you are on his mind because you're valuable to him. And knowing our value as people is something so crucial for our lives, isn't it? One of the things I do in the week is I run youth work and some children's work in schools and things. And one of the things I've noticed this year for the first time, as we've had some young people that we've maybe met in a football club or a cooking club, and then they've come into our youth project, and they've walked through the door, and one of the first things they've said is, "Do you like me?" And they've actually said it out loud, because they just need to know that they are valued. And knowing that we're valued as people is so important. And I don't know if you've seen Google's Year in Search. Every year, they look at all the things that people have been, the top things that people have been searching for on Google, and the big events of the world, and they collate it together and kind of summarize, like, what do they think people are searching for, you know, in the past year? And they kind of show their, like, viral videos and the things that have gone funny, and then the, like, great sporting moments and things like the Olympics. And then also, like, the challenges and the, you know, the struggles that we see in the world, the brokenness, where these, you know, celebrations of brokenness often alongside one another. And then at the end, this year, they summarize it with these words when they said, "Love is out there. Search on." And that's how they summarized what people are searching for in 2016. And it's a longing of the human heart. But the truth is that God loves you. And he is there. And the amazing thing about God is that he doesn't just say that he loves you, but that he showed in his actions that he loves you and that he loves us. And so that brings us to our second thing, which is to walk in love. Because we know, don't we, that in life, love always wins. When we see someone put love into action, it inspires us to do the same and to take that forward. And I don't know if you saw Meryl Streep's, global award, whatever it's called, I can't remember what it's called now, not the Oscars, but the fake Oscars. She had won one of those, and she gave this speech, and she said, "Violence only breeds violence," and she was referring to Martin Luther King when he said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." And love conquers, and love wins, and love inspires, and it inspires us to action. And in the Bible, in 1 John, it says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear." And that's why at the church here, we've started a new series. Oh, it's going all over the place, eh? We've started a new series for 2017 called Value of People, Walk in Love. Because these things are so crucial, aren't they? That we know our value as people, and that we value people, and that we walk in love in our lives. Because God, he values people, and he walked in love. He didn't just say it, but he showed it. And John, who was one of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, he put it this way. He said, "God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." And when Jesus came into the world, that was God himself coming into the world to show us what God is like, that he values people, that he walked in love, and that he's close and not far away, that he is close to each one of us. And there was this one time when Jesus was walking into a village called Nain near his hometown in Galilee. And as he was walking in and towards the village gate, suddenly out of the village, a funeral procession came. And there was all this crowd of people. And Jesus was just walking by, but he could see them coming through. And he noticed and he learned that it was a widow whose only son had died. And a widow in that time, in that culture, was a very vulnerable position to be in. you know, no one to in that culture to look after you, to care for you, and they were always the poorest and the most neglected. And this widow had not only lost her husband, but now she'd lost her only son. And it says that when Jesus saw her, in Luke 7, verse 13, when Jesus saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. And he said, "Don't cry." And then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the bearers stopped. And he said, "Young man, get up." And then as he said that, the young boy sat up and began to talk. And he'd been raised to life. And it says Jesus took him down and gave him back to his mother. And Jesus was just walking by that day, but he noticed this situation going on. And he was moved to compassion. And when Jesus looks into our lives, he's moved with compassion for us as well, because he values each one of us. Or there was another time when he was in the city of Capernaum, and he was teaching in a synagogue, which is like the Jewish version of, you know, a church gathering. And it was on a Saturday. And the religious leaders were there in this synagogue, and they began to hate Jesus because so many people were starting to follow him and hear about his reputation. And so they were looking for any excuse to arrest him and to get rid of him. And as they were there and Jesus was speaking, there was a man in the room who had a deformed hand. And no doubt for him, that would have affected his whole life because, you know, they didn't really have many office jobs back then. So if your hand was deformed, you know, you couldn't really work. So this was a really big deal. And he's standing there with a deformed hand. And Jesus notices him. And then the religious leaders notice him. And it says that they thought to themselves, if Jesus heals this man, then we're going to accuse him. Because on the Sabbath day in that culture, you weren't allowed to do any work. So they thought, well, if Jesus heals him, we'll accuse him of working on the Sabbath, and then we can arrest him. And Jesus knows this, and he's got a choice. He's got these, on the one side, these religious leaders who are the ones in power, really, the ones that could, you know, fast track a career or cause you to be executed by the Romans. And then on the other side, he's got a man with a withered hand who he knows that he can help and make a difference in his life. And he has a choice to make. And it's early on when he's like on the scene. And so he calls the man out in front of everyone. And he turns to the religious leaders and he says, is this a day to do good or to do bad? Is this a day to save life or to destroy life? And he looks at them and he's willing them to, you know, to let love win and to overcome with goodness. And they just stand there silent, waiting. And it says Jesus was deeply disturbed by their hard hearts. And so he turned to the man and he said, stretch out your hand. And as he did, his hand was completely restored to full health. It was healed. Amazing. And the crowd were amazed. And it says the religious leaders left furious and began to plot how they could arrest and kill Jesus. And I remember last year when Mike Chandler, one of the guys here, was getting baptized. And I first met Mike in our Penland building where we do our community projects. And he was a security guard in Sainsbury's at the time. And he didn't believe in God. And a friend had invited him to church. And he had tendonitis in both of his arms, which he had from an injury at work when he had to restrain someone. And it had affected him through work. And he was wearing straps on his arms. He was in pain every day, having physiotherapy. And he told me about it. So I said, well, can I pray for you? Because just like when Jesus healed people, when we pray for people, we've seen many people healed. And he said, yeah, sure, why not? You know, nothing to lose. So I prayed for him. I just said, Jesus, would you come? And I command the pain in Mike's arms to go. And just as I began to pray, I could see, he had his eyes closed, that just God's, the only way I could just see that like God's love really was coming, like came to him. And he could, you know, I could see it in his face, that his facial expression, you know, just changed. And he was very peaceful. And I said, Mike, how is the pain? And he said, it feels like it's lifting right out of my arms. And then he stretched them out and all the pain had gone, completely gone. And he was so overwhelmed. It was a bit of a shock, I think, because he didn't believe God was real. And now suddenly we prayed and, you know, it's gone. And he was due to start acupuncture the following week. That was the next part of the treatment. So he went back to the physio on the Monday. And he said, the lady there, the physio, she had all the needles out ready. And then she started to feel his arm, was like, how's the pain there? And he's like, oh, there's no pain. How is it there? No pain. How's it there? Did the other arm? How's the pain? How's the pain? No pain. She called in a consultant for a second opinion. They had a good feel, couldn't find any pain, and they discharged him there and then, and he didn't need the acupuncture treatment. Isn't that amazing? And after that, we began to talk to Mike and say, what Jesus did for your arms, he can do for your whole life, because Jesus cares about every part of our lives, and he wants to come into our lives so that we know him in a real way, and that he can forgive us for the things that we've done wrong and bring a freedom to our lives, and he wants to be with us for eternity. And Mike decided that time to follow Jesus and to accept him into his life. And he said to me in one conversation, I wish I'd known this 15 years ago, because Jesus has the power to make a difference in our lives. Well, recently I met a lady called Solveig from Sweden. And when I met her, it was actually last New Year, she had decided to follow Jesus 1 year before, and she'd been a Christian for 1 year. And I said to her, how has this year been for you? How has it gone? And she said, well, in one way, it's been one of the hardest years of my life, because she'd had some family difficulty and breakdown. She'd lost her house. She'd had to move cities. She'd lost her job. But in all that, she said, I've never felt so secure in all my life. She said, I feel like I've had my feet on solid ground. And she said, I wish everyone could experience what I've experienced. And that's why Jesus came and gave his life, so that everyone could experience what Solveig experienced. That security, that peace of knowing where you stand and what Mike experienced. And Mike and Solveig recognized a difference in their lives after they encountered the reality of Jesus. Because outside of Jesus, we're separated from God as people. Sin separates us from God. And that's where we're living apart from him and living our way and leading our own lives rather than allowing God to be the one to lead our lives and doing our lives with him. And we needed an intervention. And God loves us so much that he didn't want anything to get in the way of us knowing how much he values us and to know the reality of his love in our lives. And that's why he moved first. And that's why Jesus came, to bring a solution and to bring forgiveness. And later on, the religious leaders, those who plotted Jesus' death, they did arrest him and they did hand him over to the Romans. And the Romans crucified him on the cross. And the Roman historian Tacitus, he recorded this when he said, Christus, from whom the name has its origin, talking about Christianity, he suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself sin and what separates us from God. And he died to make a way, to break the consequences of sin, so that we wouldn't need to be separated from God. And 3 days later, in the Easter story, he rose back to life. And when people came to the tomb, it was empty. And over the next 40 days, over 500 and more people saw that Jesus was alive, because Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. But in fact, he was God himself who would come to defeat death, so that the greatest enemy of mankind doesn't have to be the end, but that death isn't the end. And now for us too, we can have God's gift of eternal life and the peace that that brings into our lives. But it starts now. That starts with a relationship with God here and now today, where we say, I don't want to live my life apart from God. And I recognize that, just like all of us, that I'm not perfect, that none of us are perfect, that we've all made mistakes, and that we accept God's forgiveness so that those mistakes that we know we've made are taken away and we don't have to bear the consequences of them. But we are given freedom from that. And we turn away from them and we say, God, I want to follow you in my life. And I want to know your love and your power to make a difference in my everyday. And when we do that, the Bible says that Jesus comes and fills our hearts with his love. And by his Holy Spirit, he comes and makes his home in us and lives with us. And that we're never apart from him. And that he brings forgiveness, freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, a purpose, a fresh start. In 1 Corinthians it says, This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. And we have this promise of eternal life, that when we die, we're not separated from God and all of his goodness and all that he has for us in the future, but that we can be with him and that we have an eternity with him to know a purpose and love, and it's going to be amazing. And that's what baptism demonstrates, because the third thing is that love is personal. And each of these guys are going to be saying today, when they get baptized, it's them saying, that's true for me. That's what's happened to me. That's been my experience. And it's a way that they visibly show with us today as we celebrate that I've chosen to follow Jesus. And so this is what they're going to do in a little moment, is they're going to get into the pool. So we're going to climb up to the stage and they're going to hop in off that. No, I'm only kidding. They're going to get into the pool. And of course, baptism means to dunk. So they are going to have a little bit of a dunk. But before they do all that, we're going to hear their story. So we get to hear, why is it that you want to be baptized? Because love is personal. So we get to hear their experience. So that's exciting. And then they're going to get in the pool. And at first, they're going to be put under the water. And when they go under the water, that represents Jesus' death on the cross. That when Jesus died, he took away all the stuff that separates us from God. That he took away sin that creates a barrier. And he dealt with it on our behalf. And when they go under the water, they're saying that they have been buried with Jesus, that they're leaving it with him on the cross. In Romans 6, it says, when we become Christians and we're baptized, we become one with Christ Jesus. We died with him. So it's saying, Jesus did that for me. And then when they come back out of the water, that represents new life, just as Jesus came back to life on the third day. And they're saying, and now I turn from the old life and I turn to the new life with Jesus and follow him. And Romans 6 says, just as we were raised from the dead, now we may also live new lives. And that's our part to play. Jesus did all the work on the cross and when he rose again. But that's simply our part to play, where we turn to follow him. And that's what these guys are going to be demonstrating. So that's exciting, isn't it? But baptism is more than just symbolic. It's more than just representing. It represents something that's happened, but it's more than that as well. Just like, this is little Abigail, if you hadn't seen her yet, Sam and Jenny's new little baby girl. She's cute, isn't she? Thought that was me then. A little fanfare for Abigail. Just like, you know when a mum or a dad tells a child, I love you, they're communicating something about that relationship. And those words, I love you, it communicates like the whole relationship, the care, the provision, the feelings, the thoughts towards the child, the intentions towards the child, all of the actions and the relationship, those words represent it. They summarize it, don't they? But also those words are powerful in and of themselves and carry a meaning in itself. And for a child to hear those words from a parent, I love you, is important just on its own. So it represents something, but it also has a value in itself. Or a little bit like when you sign for a new football team, as Llorente signed for the Swans this summer, the day that you signed the paper, the day that Llorente signed the paper, made him a Swansea City footballer. He was officially in the team, a part of the team, that day he signed. But then also, the first time when you actually pull on a shirt and go out and play for Swansea City is also like the day you become a Swansea City player, because now you're playing in the team. So when you sign for the team, I'm a Swansea City player. And then the day I play for the team, I'm a Swansea City player. And they like go together closely, especially when you score the goal, two goals against Liverpool like they did yesterday. Sorry, Adam. But they go together closely. And baptism is a part of living out our relationship with Jesus. It's more than symbolic, but has a meaning in itself. And that's why Jesus himself said to be baptized. He said to his disciples, go into all the world and tell everyone in every nation about this amazing thing that I've done for people, the good news that they can know my love and purpose in their lives. And anyone who chooses to follow me, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it was a command from Jesus. And baptism is itself a spiritual act in itself. It's an act of obedience, and it carries a blessing. So when these guys go under and then they come out again, we're going to pray for them before they, you know, get their towel out and dry off, because it's a real important moment in your relationship with Jesus and your walk with him. So we're going to pray for you. And isn't it great that we get to do that all together and join it together? And I love it. It's one of my favorite things, baptisms. And it's great that you can be with us to share in it. And finally, this like relationship with God is something that is open to each person. When Google this year, it really struck me when I watched that video a couple of weeks ago when it said, love is out there, search on. Because we are as people searching for meaning, searching for love. And God wants us to know that he is there, that he came in Jesus so that we could see that he is close and that this love is for each one of us. And if there's anyone here today where you think for yourself, actually, I haven't, like we talked about Mike and Solve, I haven't actually chosen to follow Jesus. I've maybe heard about him, I've heard about God, but I wouldn't say I have a relationship with God. I wouldn't say it's personal. And you would like to know the reality of God in your life and what Jesus has done for you. And you would like to say, actually, I would like God as a part of my life and to be forgiven for the things I've done wrong and to have eternity with him when I die, and to know him in my life right now, then I just want to give anyone who'd like to do that, if you haven't before, the opportunity to do so. And you can, there's no like secret formula. It's just simply like in any relationship, saying yes and saying, I want to know you and I want you in my life. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that invites Jesus to be a part of your life. And if something that's something that you'd like to do, then you can do it now. You can just do it in your, where you are, sat down. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to invite us all just to close our eyes while I pray. And if there's anyone who would like to do that today and make that choice, if you haven't done that before, then I'm just going to invite you now, while everyone's got their eyes closed, just to put a hand up where you are, only quickly, and then you can put it down again. And it's just one of those things where it's just like these guys are getting baptized to show something. That's your like response to say, yes, this is something that I want. So if that's something you'd like to do, I'm just going to invite you just to put a hand up now, and then we'll pray together. Great, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to? Great, let's pray. Pray this after me. Jesus, I thank you that you love me and that you came and died for me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong and where I've lived life apart from you. Please would you come into my life now and forgive me and bring me freedom. And I choose to follow you and to have you as a part of my life for the rest of my life. Amen. And yeah, Lord, I just thank you for everyone here today and that you value them and that you love them. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and fill each one of us now with a fresh knowing of how much you love us and that we would know you with us each day. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Amen.